love the lectionary. It gives us some interesting scripture, doesn't it? Yeah. Who I am. Who are you? Do you know? When God's asked, he doesn't give a name. He gives a verb. I am. Try that next time someone asks you who you are. Give them a verb. What verb would you use? Would it differ from one person to the next? We won't go there just yet. Moses. We know the story of Moses. We've heard the story. But we don't always think about it the way maybe Moses thought about it. So Moses was born what kind of person? What was his heritage? What was his people? Anyone know? Israelites, right? Or the Hebrews. And then he was adopted by Egyptians. And he became an Egyptian. And then he left Egypt after he killed somebody. And he sat up and set up shop, I guess, in Midian, right? With Jethro. So from a Hebrew to an Egyptian to a Midianite. From a slave to a prince to a murderer and a priest's son-in-law. Quite the story to tell. If someone were to say, who are you? What might Moses say? He doesn't even know. He says to God, who am I to go? He's having this conversation with God in the burning bush, the first encounter of God in this kind of way on the mountain. And God says some interesting things. I hear the cry of my people. I have come to rescue them. And I'm sending you, Moses, to Pharaoh to bring them out. And Moses says, who am I? I don't even know. I don't even know. And God says, I'll be with you. I don't know how if that really did it for Moses. If he's like, oh, okay, well, then I'll go and do this incredible thing. But Moses is, his identity is directly related to the presence of God with him, his divine appointment. He's going to deliver the Israelites from serving Pharaoh so that they may serve God. You catch that? They're going to come out of service to go into service. Out of serving Pharaoh into serving God. Well, the word is the same for worship and service. It's the same thing. So he says, who are you? Who do I tell him sending me? And God gives the famous, I am, the verb. You want to know my name? God says, I am what I do. I've come. I will empower. I will deliver. I will lead. I will make a covenant. I will heal and I will redeem all. That's who I am. Now, none of these things that God's going to do has happened yet, but Moses is given the name. So he has the identity, but he has no idea what it means. Right? Are you identifying with Moses a little bit? We can't even quite grasp the name. We're like, what? I am? Forever they can look to what God is and does. That's what God says. Forever they will know me by this way, by what I do. Who am I, says Moses. God says, I'll show you who you are. Wonderful story. So we're going to go to the story in Jesus because it's very similar. Jesus has just asked the disciples before our verses today, who do people say I am? And they give some responses. And then he says, who do you say I am? And I imagine there was some looking at each other for a minute. Peter's like, okay, I'll say it. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is like, okay, you have the identity. Do you know what it means? Or are you back at the bush, right? The disciples have the identity just like Moses, just like Israel. They know who Jesus is, but they may have a vastly different idea as to what God is here to do or to be. Who is I am? Never thought I'd say that sentence out loud. Who is I am? Peter thinks he knows, as do the other disciples, as do we. If Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the king that they've been waiting for, kings do what? They come to power, right? They sit on thrones. He's going to cleanse the world of the current powers and take the throne. And how do you do that? You revolt. You go to war. You bring in violence, which usually brings famine, which usually brings lots of death. That's how it's going to happen, right? How can Jesus be king and take power unless the current powers are destroyed? That's the way they thought, which is why what Jesus said next really challenged them. It's a nice way to say it. Challenged them. So I imagine it going something like this. So I'm going to play act with both people. So Jesus says, "Who am I? Well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And yes. Yeah. You ready? Oh, yeah. We're ready, Jesus. "I'm going to go to Jerusalem." Oh, yeah. "You're going to go to Jerusalem. Let's do it." "I'm going to confront the elders." Yes. "The chief priests." Yes. "The legal experts." Yes. "And I'm going to suffer and die and rise on the third day." Huh? "That's your plan? Jesus, you can't do it like that," Peter says. It's my paraphrase. And Jesus says, "Get behind me. You're not thinking like God. You're thinking like humans." Then the bombshell. "All who want to come after me must say no to themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." Now, crosses are nice, pretty images to us, but they weren't pretty images to them. Crosses were the worst way you could die, the perfection of torture that would help you to live the longest. They were billboards of Rome's power. Jesus says, "Pick up your cross and follow me." Their excitement, I imagine, waned a little bit. So what is this all about? Can I offer you an interpretation? All right. Who is God? Have you ever tried to answer that question? Have you ever tried to answer it with a verb? What has God done for you? What has God done for you? Do you know? Have you ever thought it out, written it out, said it? Because what God has done is who God is. Who is Jesus? Do you follow a king who revolts, gets loud and violent, or do you follow the king who lays down his life? Who are you? It's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Teenagers, I know, kids, young adults, older adults, some of you are thinking, "I'm going to figure out who I am one day," right? I'm struggling with that right now. Raise your hand if you know exactly who you are. Dan does. The child of God. Yeah, we know some things about who we are, don't we? But we're still trying to figure out exactly what's going on here. It never ends. Does that make you feel better? We are always on a quest to define ourselves. And if you aren't, then what are you doing? Who you were, that's not who you are. What you did, it's not who you are. What you do now, it's not who you are. Who you are is what your life is when you are led by God in pursuit of the way of Jesus. That sounds really tricky and churchy, but that's true. The way of Jesus is learning how to confront yourself and how to confront the world, okay? We'll start there, because that's what Jesus did. He confronted all the satanic powers, which are all the things that aren't of God. So Jesus did what God did, so we confront the pharaohs, who force people to serve in bondage, slavery, all the ways that ignore the humanity of others, that ignore the fact that Dan shared that we are all children of God. If you're hearing other voices say different things, it's a pharaoh. We are here to confront the religious powers who ignore the needy, the widow, the orphan, the naked, the hungry, the homeless, the lost. And we are here, like Jesus, to confront the political powers of this world who make claims like Rome made. Rome said, if you aren't a Roman citizen, you're not fully human. And you don't deserve a life with enough food and water and dignity. Or the political powers of Israel, who said everyone who isn't an Israelite is called what? A dog. Remember that from last week? Jesus was here to confront that, to feed the dogs, and to give them new identities, to heal and serve the poor and the sick. Jesus confronted evil powers by standing up and refusing to follow anything but God. Jesus came to love his enemies and do everything in mercy and grace and love. Yes? We know this? Yeah. And like a bell tower, the actions and message of Jesus rings throughout the earth, Throughout all eternity, we have it in the collection of books we call the Bible. We all have at least 4 or 5 copies of different translations, right? And maybe we even read one of them. We have them in our experience of what Jesus has done for us, who God has been for us. We have that message. We have seen who God is through our own experience and through the love of Jesus. Or as John puts it, God is love. Have you experienced love? You've experienced God. So will you deny yourself and follow? We hear that language a lot. Will you deny yourself? Or will you listen to the Peter and Moses voice in your head saying, who am I? This isn't going to happen like that. I'm going to protect myself. Right? Because if I stand up for God, if I act on behalf of the least, if I speak out against political and religious powers, if I lift my voice against racism, if I lift my voice against oppression and the dehumanizing of immigrants and LGBTQ or anyone that God has created in the divine image, if I do that, if I stand up against those who are the pharaohs, it's dangerous. And I'm going to suffer. There is a cross. Jesus does not hide the message. But he says, I assure you, says this to the disciples, I assure you that some standing here won't die before they see the human one coming in his kingdom. It's already happened. When he rose from that grave, Jesus received all authority and power on earth and in heaven. Yes? He went to Jerusalem to die, but to come into his power. That's how our king comes into power. There are still rulers around us that don't bow to the power of Jesus. And there's people. We can admit that. And for us to bow to Jesus over the ways of the world, it's dangerous. People will react in ways that will cause you to suffer. Anyone suffered here? If you want to gain life, Jesus says, if you want to find it, you have to give it up. And then you'll find out who you are. If you want to truly encounter God in such a way that I am begins to actually make sense and bring you into an entirely different understanding of yourself and the world, then I invite you to commit today to follow Jesus in a new way. And I'm going to try to simplify it, okay? Because this is language we hear a lot. Or if you're hearing it for the first time, maybe this will help. The good news is that Jesus leads us into life. What life is really all about. Not death. Life. Fullness of life is another way to say it. Eternal life is another way to say it. Life with God who is and God who will be. So what do you picture when you hear the gospel in this way? When you picture God coming into power, do you picture crowds of people marching and shouting? Do you imagine chants of protest? You imagining some Christian figures coming into power around the world? That's how it's going to happen? No, that's not how it's going to happen. That's the Peter in you saying that. This starts with you. It's very simple. It's not easy, but it's very simple. Let me ask you some questions. What are you devoted to? In your day-to-day, what are you devoted to? What do you get up each morning to do? What do you spend your time doing? Look at your calendar. What do you devote the most time doing? What have you been talking about lately that's always on your mind and you always have something to say? That says a little bit about who you're serving, what you're serving, right? Who are your role models? Who are you trying to imitate? What kind of behavior in others inspires you? What are some things you look at and say, that's what I want to be like? What kind of behavior in others angers you? What are your dreams and plans? Are they for the furthering of the way of Jesus or yourself? Are they anchored in the kingdom of God who is about the integrity and the dignity and the humanity of others and yourself? What are you doing to reach out to other people? We've been seeing a lot of that lately, haven't we? People reaching out. People aren't really arguing about politics right now. They're reaching out to those in need. Isn't that beautiful? How are you trying to understand people who you don't currently understand? Let me ask that one again. How are you trying to understand people whom you don't currently understand? Are you making that kind of effort? That's the kind of commitment that the way of the cross demands. Are there groups of people who are crying out around us? Are there people who claim to be in bondage? Are there people who are being shut out in some way? Do you hear them? Do you try and learn from them? Are you making sure that decisions you make don't contribute? Are you conscious about what you buy, where you buy it, who made it? What kind of business practices the companies you buy from, what do they practice, do you know? Are you taking care of God's creation? Do you recycle? These are the kind of things, these are little things we can do to start living into the way. This kind of commitment starts small and simple, and God will lead you where you are supposed to go when you give of yourself in that way and into the identity you were always meant to have. So the question's simple to end here. Do you trust Jesus? And will you follow? The life of commitment is ongoing, and we recommit every single day, every single day. And this work is never done because the depths of the love of God is endless and eternal. So I invite you to commit yourself today and just do the next thing right. All right, that was how it started for me. Someone said, just do the next thing right. Don't worry about conquering the world. Leave that to God. Just do the next thing right. Follow Jesus, and you start to find yourself, and you start to find eternal life. So as we take of the loaf here in a moment, as we receive the body and remember who we are, what are you going to give of yourself today in a new way? Something small, something big. I invite you to do so, to trust and see what happens. Can we do that together? Because I'm going to need you when my cross comes. I'm going to need you to help me carry it. Will you help me carry it? Can I help you carry yours? Yeah. Let's pray together. Lord, we're trying to understand what it is you want. And sometimes we're staring at a bush on fire here in the name I am, and we just don't know what that all means. Help us to just trust and to take the next step that you've called us to take. Help us to know that that step is going to lead us to sometimes a struggle. But it will be through that struggle that we find ourselves and our lives and we find you. And I thank you that you can come to any of us, that any of us can come to you in a new way today. There's no status, there's no levels of power, it's just turning toward you. So Lord, be with us, help us, comfort us, encourage us. And I thank you. I thank you for those around us that lift us up. I thank you for your church, which encourages us and helps us carry our cross. Amen.